B-Pod Studios.
Let's call on a man who covered the game last night. He's been covering the Eagles for ESPN.com. He's brought to us by Training Camp. Get IT certified fast at Training Camp. Online at TrainingCamp.com. Tim McManus joins us. Timmy, finally the preseason is over, right? There's one more game, but I don't think anybody cares.
We're getting
it. Yeah. You have to cover it. I get it. But last night we got our final.
I was not angry about.
Yeah, our final views came last night. So what are your final views here?
I think the number one thing to take away from yesterday's game was the fact that Josh McCown came in 5 days post-retirement and looked like a capable quarterback. He had only a handful of plays that he was working with. You can't buy too much into what you see in the preseason, but the fact that he was able to operate at a level higher than really we've seen out of any Eagles quarterback this preseason, given that he only practiced 3 days the whole year, allows for a little bit more comfort about what's backing up Carson Wentz entering week one anyway. So I thought that was the number one development. And number two for me was the fact that Rodney McLeod was out there and also looked like he was running around pretty well. And that's a big question about how that knee is going to respond and whether he can be the guy next to Malcolm Jenkins that the Eagles defense needs him to be. And I thought that he was emitting some pretty positive signs. So I think those were the two big takeaways for me last
year. Yeah, I agree with you on McCown. It was frankly mind-boggling that he was able to do that. And he delivered that one touchdown strike with two guys coming in his face and getting ready to rip him. So as it sits, you think McCown, even when Sudfeld comes back, McCown will be the backup, the number two?
You know, I think it seems like it's trending that way. I don't know that they've made that determination fully, but the amount of money that he got guaranteed, and certainly I don't think he hurt himself by what he was able to show in pretty short order. And also, you know, guys have gravitated to McCown pretty instantly. Already you can see that he's been winning people over in the locker room, and I think it's impressive when he just gets here and he's like resetting calls at the line of scrimmage, and directing traffic and doing all this pre-snap stuff. Granted, he's got 17 years of NFL experience, but he's brand new in this offense and is taking command all of a sudden. So, yeah, I do think it's kind of trending in that direction for him.
All right, look at the running back last night. I actually think, and Brian, you can chime in on this, I think that Josh Adams played his way out of a spot, and if Smallwood plays well next week, which I think he'll play, he'll get that final spot. What did you think, Tim and Brian?
Well, yeah, I'm curious to hear what B. West says here, but yeah, Adams had the drop, and I think that he was kind of working uphill anyway. I mean, are they even going to go past four running backs is one question. And then would Adams be the next guy in is the next. And I think right now the odds aren't looking great for him to make the team.
Yeah, you know, I just think when you're in his position, you're the fourth or fifth guy, you're fighting for a position, you just can't make any mistakes. I saw him miss on the blitz pickup. I saw Adams obviously drop the ball. He hasn't flashed. And we talk about this all the time. When you're in a position you're trying to make a team, you have to flash. You have to show something. A special teams play would do it. A catch that nobody thought that you can make. A block, whatever that is. And unfortunately, in this situation, he hasn't flashed enough for him to say, hey, we'll take a flyer on this guy because he's a great special teams guy. Or we can use him in this situation on offense. And unfortunately, he hasn't shown enough to be able to allow the team to believe that.
And there was a play that I know both of you guys noticed that he did catch the ball on that the play to the left where he was headed to, he had a head of steam going to the end zone. And he kind of pulled up, Timmy.
Yeah, and he's had, some fumbling issues to go along with all that. I think that there's just that coupled, I think, with the ongoing sort of health concerns with him, like will the knee ever be right? You know, I think you put all those things together, and it's probably not looking great for him to make this team. Now, maybe he latches on somewhere, but because of the depth that running back that this position has kind of accrued during the offseason, I don't think it looks great for Adams.
All right. So what else did you see last night that we can use? It's funny how we look at this team now and we're looking at like the backup right tackle. We're looking at the fifth wide receiver or running back. Mailata played a lot last night. Are they confident that he can be the backup to a guy?
Well, I know that Jeff Stoutland remains high on what Mailata's upside is, but also that he's a work in progress. And there's three penalties from Mailata on that night, a couple of them like right back to back. And I think that there's still some smoothing out, certainly some polish that he still needs. But also, I mean, he is capable enough generally where I think that if they needed to put him into the game, they think that he could do a serviceable job, but obviously would rather have a little bit more time with him before they put him in that situation.
All right. What about the linebackers last night? It looked like McSorley was able to complete a lot of passes in that area.
Yeah, Fort and Gary both made plays. I did note that. So maybe a little bit of a better performance for parts of the game from the linebacking core. But as you said, McSorley was having his way during other parts, which you don't want to see. So I think that's really one that remains a question mark and will hover over this team certainly heading into September, especially with Nigel Bradham still recovering from that toe surgery and with Kamu Grugier-Hill going to be on ice for a couple weeks, it looks like, that they're really going to have to rely on other pieces on defense and hope that they get some good play out of the linebackers. But I just don't think that you can depend on a high level of play entering the season.
You know, Tim, one of the guys that I think is going to play a big part in this season is Sidney Jones. And I saw him a little bit out there. I saw him get beat on the player. So, you know, what have you seen from him? What could we expect from him? Really, Rasul Douglas, as we go into this season, are we secure with our guys in the secondary as far as the cornerback positions?
You know, it wasn't the greatest outing for Rasul Douglas. He had the one missed tackle. It was pretty big. It took out Malcolm Jenkins on the Miles Boykin kind of long catch and run. Sidney Jones, one thing, I mean, first off, you know, he was starting on that left side with Maddox coming in the slot, and this was the quote-unquote dress rehearsal. And we've seen Jim Schwartz use a couple different combinations with either Sidney Jones working in the slot or Avante Maddox on the outside. But here's the third preseason game, and there's Jones lining up at that left cornerback spot, and that might be a tell for what we're going to see on the opener, which means that, you know, Jones becomes a very key figure very quickly while they're waiting for Jalen Mills to recover from his foot injury. On the other side with Rasul Douglas, you know, it's basically the people who have been operating there have been Ronald Darby and Douglas. And if Darby is healthy, I think he's going to be commanding that spot, which puts Rasul Douglas in kind of a secondary role. But it looks very probable that Jones is going to be in a primary role. And I think that generally what we've seen this summer, there have been positive signs. Number one, he's been healthy. He hasn't missed a single practice. Number two, he's been showing some of that athleticism and skill set that made him a high prospect coming out before he tore his Achilles. But he's got to prove it. I mean, you know, he hasn't proven it consistently on this level. And this is a season where they're looking at, okay, if this defense wants to be where it needs to be, they're going to have guys in that secondary step up at cornerback, and who better than Sidney Jones to do it?
All right, Tim, it's all over now as far as Carson Wentz, and they got away with not playing him in the preseason, and Seth Joyner last night was lamenting the fact that he didn't play, saying that, and we checked, 20 starting quarterbacks around the league saw some action in preseason, so what Seth was worried about was that he's not going to be up to game speed because he didn't play in preseason. How meritorious is that view, and what do you think about it?
I think that there is going to be some rust to knock off. And I think that's one, because of the long layoff that Wentz has had. And two, that I think that he's going to be kind of transitioning into Carson Wentz 2.0 a little bit, where he's going to be attacking in a different way, trying to operate primarily out of the pocket. And there's going to be those times, I think, of like, do I run here? Or am I the new Carson Wentz? And is there hesitation? And I think there is going to be some of that feeling out process that's going on, which adds to the argument of people who are saying, well, he should be in the preseason working some of these kinks out. And I think it's okay to recognize that there are benefits to him being on the field in the preseason without losing, you know, what most people, a lot of people have shifted to their side of the argument. And this is the side that I'm on, which is it's just not worth it. Like you would get benefit from him playing in the preseason, but it's not worth the risk that you would be assuming by putting him out there and having him get injured. And I think you saw evidence with that. You know, Carolina was playing at the same time the Eagles were, and you saw Cam Newton walk into the tunnel healthy, and he walked out in a walking boot. And all of a sudden, that, you know, there's a question mark over that team and that season as a result of it. I mean, so I think that that Wentz might be rusty. I think that Wentz might have some feeling out process when the season begins, and I think he may have benefited from preseason work. But I still understand why they didn't put him out there and think that it'll be worth kind of the early rust in order to have kind of shepherded him to the starting line healthy.
But I can't wait for the conversation. If the Eagles lose that game and he's rusty in game one, how do you think this fan base will react? Oh my God, are you kidding me?
Of course. They
will go nuts.
They would have reacted the same way if Carson Wentz got hurt in the preseason.
Yeah, you're right about that.
It would have been worse if he got hurt.
Yeah, it would have been preseason.
It would be all over. So I think that's, and people are going to overreact. And he's got so many weapons around him that he has looked pretty good this summer that maybe it is smooth starting out. But I think we have to at least kind of expect the possibility that it's not perfect as they start out.
All right. Timmy, always a pleasure. We will talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Have a good weekend.
All right. Tim McManus brought to us by Training Camp. Get IT certified fast at Training Camp online at trainingcamp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.